a story publishing presents Offline at Dawn. The morning smelled of roasted espresso beans and contractual sunshine. 6:03, Pacific Standard Algorithm, Portland's version of dawn. On cue, the cafe's smart shutters peeled upward and the brand-approved Tuscany swept across a rain-pocked street. Through the mandated lenses, every customer saw rolling vineyards, ochre villas, a single cypress pitched at the angle most likely to soothe. Mara Arriaga saw it too, though habit let her keep the illusion at arm's length. She'd learned to read the seams, a real lamppost carved through an unreal hill, the ghost of a municipal drone slipping behind a make-believe olive tree. "Morning, Mara," Nico Vargas sang, two equal beats as if her name were a jingle. He slid behind the bar with the ease of someone who trusted algorithms to love him back. Apron auto-sized, smile already flirting with the lens that measured customer micro-delight. 29, ring light tan, he wore ambition like cologne. His parents' taqueria had folded the year prep arms went mainstream, but Nico pivoted. Franchise Academy crowned him shift supervisor, and if his follower count held future brewfluencer, he fired off twin finger guns. "Borrow my grin until the caffeine kicks in. The lenses are rating us in real time." Mara forced a half smile. It felt like paying protection money. Customers trickled, then flooded. She moved through the rituals, grind, tamp, pour, an under-caffeinated priestess in a cathedral of sponsored comfort. Between orders, she nudged the volume of the audiobook piping through her hidden earbud. Today, it was Melville, unabridged, a reminder that language once roamed uncurated. Hours rolled by. The artificial sun climbed to algorithmic noon, then stilled. When the rush finally collapsed into hush, Nico leaned across the counter and framed them both with his holocam. "Quick clip for the channel," he said. 17 seconds. Duo smiles convert better after the two-hour mark. "I'm off-screen comfort," Mara muttered, scouring milk crust from the steam wand. "It isn't charity." He lowered the rig but kept the warmth in his eyes. "Followers like your deadpan next to my sparkle. Think about a regular cameo, sponsored beans, shared link in bio, no more double shifts." Her grunt could have been an ellipsis or a period, even she wasn't sure which. A bell chimed. Mr. Klein shuffled in, rain stippling his corduroy jacket. 67, librarian stoop, eyes wolf alert. He cradled a paper bag like contraband and ordered an Americano, no flavor drop. A tiny mutiny against the upsell prompts hovering at his periphery. "They've shortened the sunrise," he said, tapping his wrist tag to pay. "Used to last 4 minutes in here. Now we jump straight to golden hour. Efficiency is strangling poetry." Mara slid the drink across. "Poetry never paid rent. Nor does obedience in the long arithmetic," he murmured, claiming his usual seat beneath a hologram of Florence. Mid-afternoon brought Willow Chen, trench coat slicing through drizzle that evaporated before it touched the floor. Childhood friend, XR Wonderkind, anxiety masked as polish. She hugged Mara over the counter, just long enough to look candid if a stray lens happened to catch them. "How's the grindstone?" Willow asked, sipping a lavender cold brew that changed color with the playlist. "I haven't met daylight in 3 weeks." "Take a night off." Willow's brow creased, then smoothed. "I can comp you riverfront pavilion passes. Full immersion, retro 1960s Seattle, real nostalgia, none of that Bjorn Borg nonsense. Retro reality." "Terrifying," Mara said, but her laugh felt genuine. Willow's smile threatened to wobble. "Call me," she insisted, and swept out, coat already dry. Dusk, simulated of course, settled over the make-believe vineyards. Nico clocked out, promising to ping a sample contract. His reflection lingered in the glass even after he'd gone, like an ad that refused to close. At 11:02, the cafe locked itself. Mara alone dimmed the lights to maintenance mode. Corporate policy demanded a final audit of the day's security feed, ostensibly for slip-and-fall liability, really to feed central sentiment. She yawned, switched her lenses to playback, and let the minutes roll. Nothing but routine. Customers sipping curated tranquility, her own silhouette moving like a tired metronome, Mr. Klein leafing through an invisible magazine. Then, skip. A 3-second hiccup. Tuscany dissolved into a city square pulsing with bodies and hand-drawn signs. No AR sheen, no corporate banners, raw. The crowd's chant fizzed into static the audio filter couldn't scrub fast enough. Police drones swooped, a glass bottle arced and burst in unbranded fire. Abruptly, Tuscany slammed back into place. Mara rewound. Play. Pause. Same 3 seconds, she froze the middle frame, a young woman, dark hair wild, eyes bright with fury, brandished a placard that bled pixels before Mara could read more than we remember. The timestamp matched this morning. The square didn't exist on any official map of Portland. Her heart skittered. Protocol said delete corrupted files. Compliance bots would rescan by dawn. She copied the segment into a temp folder instead, staring until the image burned after shadows onto her vision. A dumpster lid slammed outside, snapping her back. Collection night. She locked the cafe and stepped into slick pavement and sodium glow. Behind the branch library, a dumpster gaped, propped open by a broken umbrella. A box balanced on trash bags stamped, Property of City Archives, dispose. Curiosity outweighed sense. Mara eased it free. Inside, dog-eared paperbacks, Elliot, Baldwin, chapbooks the filter grid no longer pushed. She was closing the lid when a voice rasped, "Careful. Some of those sentences still have teeth, Mr." Klein emerged from the gloom, collar turned up against drizzle. "Policy update dropped today. Hard copies unvetted by central narrative go to pulp." "Waste of perfectly quiet words," Mara said, hefting the box. "A crime to some, mercy to others? Want them?" Her studio was already claustrophobic with unpaid bills and thrifted furniture, but she nodded. Klein helped settle the hall in her arms. "Speak. Stories breathe better in imperfect rooms," he whispered, voice cracking on breathe, then disappeared down the alley like a sentence cut mid-page. 10 minutes later, she was back in her windowless fourth-floor shoebox. Fluorescent hum, ceiling low enough to touch. The banned books waited on a stool while she booted the antique desktop Willow had retired last year. She dropped the security clip into editing software 5 versions out of date. Pause on the protester's face. Enhance, sharpen, nothing. The system kept trying to heal the anomaly, restore the sanctioned vista. A pop-up blinked, delete corrupted segment. 2 buttons glowed, polite and merciless. Her hand hovered, the screen waited. Delete. Save. Mara's finger, skin cracked from lye-scrubbing milk pitchers, hovered, then tapped save. The button glowed a grudging green, and the 3-second fragment slipped into a drive partition, so obsolete the sweepers seldom bothered with it. She exhaled. The windowless cube felt a shade larger, the air rippling with the faint thrill of disobedience. Central's nightly audit would still come. She rummaged in her desk for the relic Willow had given her 2 birthdays back. A scuffed phone frozen at OS 12, long since cut off from the spectrum. Perfectly invisible. A frayed cord coaxed enough current to wake the device. Mara slid the clip over. A thumbnail of the protester's face bloomed. Pixelated, furious, undeniably alive. She killed every screen, curled beneath a threadbare blanket that smelled of detergent and old resolutions, and drifted into jittery dreams of vineyards burning under a real sun. 6:03. Pacific Standard Algorithm. Rain that couldn't decide between mist and drizzle needled her hood as commuters floated past in branded trances. The antique phone stayed buried in her coat pocket, her thumb touching it like a lucky stone. Inside the cafe, shutters peeled, Tuscany unfurled, and Nico's algorithm-certified grin clocked in. While grinders whirred, he rattled off foam hacks and follower counts. Mara's replies, shrugs, half-smiles, kept the micro-delight metrics comfortably bland. Mr. Klein was absent, and the empty booth under hologram Florence felt wrong. By late morning, the rush thinned to 2 tourists bickering over filter strength and freelancers auditioning productivity apps. When Nico ducked into the stockroom to livestream an unboxing, she texted Willow, "Ramen Friday? Need to vent." The message hung unanswered. Shift over, Mara shouldered another box of rescued books and cut through the alley behind the public library. A service door hissed open. Inside, Mr. Klein stood over a cart of doomed encyclopedias. "Miss Arriaga," he said, straightening with a vertebral pop. "Your shadow arrived first, hefting contraband hope." She set the carton down. "Hope outweighs the manifest. Hope always lies about its weight." He lifted 2 vending machine tees. "Bench?" They took a plastisteel seat in the back courtyard, safely beyond the reach of street projectors. Mist the color of wet cement hung low, dampening traffic noise, and with luck, surveillance mics. Klein sniffed the tea, grimaced. "I miss leaves that tasted of dirt. This tastes of nothing." He peered at her over the rim. "What did you find on the cafe feed?" Her pulse kicked. "A hiccup. Probably corruption." "Probably," he echoed, "yet you're hauling dead trees through the rain." Correlation isn't confession, he chuckled. The librarian in me chases footnotes no one cites. A delivery drone buzzed overhead. Both watched until its shadow vanished. Mara spoke first. Raw capture? Is it real? His temple flicked. It is. Rare, illegal, and expensive. Could old firmware record it by accident? In theory, he sipped. If that happened, someone would feel a sudden draft of truth. She almost told him about save. Caution one. Maybe I felt a breeze. Wind learns every crack in a wall. He studied her a moment longer. I may have something you need, but intent matters. Intent slippery. Then motive. You want air that hasn't been sponsored. That, I understand. He tapped the box of books. Read while you decide. Words are better co-conspirators than people. He left her with the tea steaming like a reluctant chimney. Back in her studio, towers of outlawed paper flanked the futon. The antique phone glowed in the dim. She replayed the clip, the protester's mouth mid-chant defiantly silent. A shout outside, real, joyous, drunken, knifed through her apartment's hush. Her wrist tag buzzed. Birthday holocall. Mom. The geofence booth was two blocks away and every minute late cost extra. She ran. The booth shimmered to life. Pastel sofa, fruit bowl, a cat napping on the sill, all corporate set dressing. Her mother's avatar blipped in, cheeks too pink to be true. There's my girl. You look tired. Are you eating? Happy birthday, Mom. A banner unfurled. This call brought to you by Omaha Orchard. Find your perfect pears. The fruit bowl winked. Mara tried to lock on her mother's eyes, but brown kept sliding into glossy almond. I sent you a transfer. Buy real flowers. Flowers? Hydrangeas give me hives. Wallpaper morphed into a cooking show kitchen. A holographic chef paraded an air fryer. Have you tried one? Half off during this call. Can we mute the ads? They both tapped the same icon. The booth chirped premium quiet mode, 9 credits per minute. Mom forced a brittle laugh. Retirement hall took us on a virtual cruise today. Dolphins! The chef shoved diced squash at the lens. The filter faltered. For half a second, Mara saw the real room. Peeling linoleum, ivy tree, her mother's face gaunt and unlit. Then the studio kitchen snapped back. Are you safe, Mara? Her mother asked, too brightly. I'm working. Yes. Good. Love you, sweetheart. Remember to eat. Surcharge warning. Mara mouthed, I love you, and killed the feed before the system could bill another credit. Sleep eluded her, so she arrived at the next shift wired on nerves alone. Nico spun milk pitchers and talk of synergy. She grunted. At 10:05, Mr. Klein appeared. Yellow scarf knotted like an exclamation point. Americano, no flavor drop. When she served it, he slid a thumb-sized parcel across the counter, wrapped in brown parchment. For when the wind grows louder. She blocked the store optics with her body and pocketed it. I haven't agreed to anything. Nor have I asked. His eyes were solemn now. Use half-speed playback. Full speed can cause vertigo. He retreated to his Florence booth. Her pulse thudded. Every checklist task, foaming hemp milk, polishing already clean steel, felt like camouflage. Fingers kept straying to the hidden parcel. Nico popped over, camera rolling. Quick clip. What single origin bean matches your mood? Sumatra black, notes of burnt rope. He laughed, assuming she joked, and bounced away. At the bar refill, she murmured without moving her lips. What is it? A recorder, Klein said. Officially diagnostic, unofficially raw capture, keep it off grid. Why me? Because curtains don't mend themselves. Decide whether you're cloth or seam. He tipped, nodded, and left. Close. Nico filmed the sunset sequence, then pitched her again. One sponsorship, Mara, you could buy a window. She pictured her mother's IV pole hiding behind cartoon cookware. Can't, she said. Sleep on it. He squeezed her shoulder with genuine concern before leaving the cafe to lock itself. In her studio, she unwrapped the device. Brushed aluminum, no logo, one red toggle. Dead until charged. She found an ancient cable, watched the indicator pulse, and, hours later, steady. Toggle on. A single word scrolled across e-ink. Listen. Through its viewfinder, the wall showed only chipped paint and a spider descending. No Tuscany, no sunsets. She lifted the recorder toward her dark monitor. Her own face stared back. Grainy, real. The honesty of it stole her breath. Shift in 6 hours. She duplicated the protest clip onto the recorder's memory, then slid the device into a hollowed-out copy of Invisible Man, Klein's handiwork, and stashed it among the rescued books. Text to Willow. Do you ever wonder what's real? Send. Outside, drones combed the fog for someone else, but Mara still flinched. The recorder's red light beat under her pillow, steady, patient as truth. While she traced ceiling cracks, the algorithms refused to heal and waited for dawn to test whether a breeze could become a storm. The shutters hadn't rolled yet, but the cafe's motion lights pricked up at the sound of Mara's key. 5:40 a.m. A good 20 minutes before the algorithm would splash Tuscany over the windows. She slipped inside with nothing more outwardly suspicious than a battered copy of Invisible Man, though the contraband recorder hidden in its hollowed pages dragged at her shoulder like wet sand. She locked the door and let muscle memory take over. Aprons on hooks, grinders calibrated, beans weighed to the gram. When the checklist reached white front display, she pivoted, cracked the novel's hollow spine, and thumbed the red toggle. Listen. The e-ink breathed. She set the device high on a shelf angled toward the customer floor, its pinhole lens glaring down like a truth-seeking gargoyle. 6:03. Hydraulic sigh, shutters up, and the vineyards unfurled in rentable sunshine. Through the recorder's viewfinder, though, she saw the city as it was. Wet asphalt, a junk flyer flapping in the gutter, dawn bruised purple. The difference felt like a heartbeat beneath loose floorboards. Proof that the wall really did have cracks. Nico breezed in a minute later, citrus cologne first, optimism close behind. He tapped the wall. Motown spilled at regulation volume while he fanned two paper cups like a Vegas dealer. "Your early gloomy angel, bless you," he said, passing her a cup. "Test batch espresso. Tell me that doesn't taste like reprieve." She sipped, char, smoke, a shy floral note. "Tastes expensive." "Exactly," he winked, syncing brew stations with central sentiment while she stole glances at the recorder's slow, sovereign blink. The first patron arrived, a commuter whose lenses still murmured morning affirmations. As Mara poured foam, the commuter's overlay stuttered, and for 2 seconds the woman's bewildered reflection stared from the glass before Tuscany snapped back into place. Hairs lifted on Mara's arms. Rush hour swept away contemplation. Quad soy cortados, pumpkin chip matchas, protein froths that smelled vaguely of sugared drywall. Half her mind rode the grinder's thrum. The other half listened for the recorder sifting reality from varnish. By 10, the flood thinned. Nico closed the till, flipped his influencer rig, and beckoned her into frame. "We hit an all-time micro-delight score," he told his unseen followers, "mostly because of this woman, your new co-host." Her stomach clenched. Off-camera talk of collaboration was one thing. A live announcement was another, comments scrolled in neon she couldn't read. When the red light died, Nico's grin softened. "Brand liaisons pinged me. Salary, health credits, even rent stipends. You'd be authenticity assurance, make sure my sparkle looks grounded." "Sounds like a euphemism," she said. "It's money." He slid a doc slate across the counter, pages glowing pale blue. "Sign before Friday, standard NDA, no negative takes, no off-grid recordings, no leaks, pure formality." She wiped invisible milk from her palms. "I'll read it after shift." "Take your time." He tapped the slate. "Some of us survive on charisma. You, apparently, just have to exist." No malice. Almost worse. Lunch break finally clocked in at 1:30. She stowed the recorder inside Invisible Man and boarded a tram across the river. The pod windows pulsed ads for curated calm, ignoring the drizzle needling real glass. Willow waited at the XR garden gate, trench coat flawless, umbrella smart enough to counter wind. Iris scanners flickered. The riverfront dissolved, replaced by Kyoto spring serenity. Plum blossoms drifted in air that wasn't air. "The gradient's nice today," Willow said, guiding them along a gravel path that wasn't there. Focus groups love early blossom optimism. Mara let a petal pass through her fingertip. "Supposed to smell like rebirth. Chemist's bottled hope works on 87% of noses." Willow's smile twitched. "How's the grind?" Mara laid out the sponsorship offer in clipped sentences. Willow halted beside a koi pond whose water mirrored nothing. "If you sign, you're insulated. Brands shield their faces. Otherwise, rumors say they're hunting glitches hard." "You've heard rumors? 3 agencies. Audit requests tripled this quarter." Her voice dropped. "They're rewriting code at the root, firing anyone who questions camera drift." A temple bell chimed. Perfect, empty serenity. Mara steadied her breathing. "I caught new anomalies this morning, real ones. The recorder..." "Stop," Willow raised a hand. "I don't want to know. Plausible ignorance keeps my badge. So I sign and climb or keep digging and fall." Willow's eyes shone behind curated calm. Please stabilize. Your mom could use private care. You could stand in genuine sunlight someday. Play along until you can afford an exit. An exit from what? From needing to care. Willow looked away as blossoms looped pink to gold to pink, refusing decay. Promise you'll weigh it. I'll weigh. Tin on her tongue. Willow pressed a formulaic cheek kiss and hurried off, trench fading into a reset horizon. The tram ride back skirted gray river water that at least claimed honesty. Evening arrived early. Cloud cover and policy both prefer shadows. Tasks blurred, sanitizing steam wands, counting syrups, resetting Tuscany for the night. Nico left at 9:15, tapping her shoulder. Pen strokes secure futures, amiga. His avatar lingered on the wall display long after the door sealed. With the cafe empty, she killed the Tuscan vista. Fluorescence bared every industrial seam. Invisible man came out, the recorder unplugged, raw footage poured across her antique monitor. The commuter's startled reflection, a toddler scowling when butterflies failed to perch on her cup, no wings in unbranded air. 37 fissures in one morning. Then the spike, 8:09, nearly 6 seconds of the forbidden square. Protesters shoulder to shoulder, banners crisp. We remember, another banner only a date. Police drones hovering as if stunned to inaction. Chanting rolled like surf hitting seawall. She replayed in half speed. The woman with wild dark hair surged into frame, mouth open on a vowel pitched somewhere between fury and faith. Outside, garbage drones rattled bins. Life's machinery, loyal to itself. She thumbed the dock slate, salary enough to vaporize debt, healthcare broad enough to cradle her mother, an apartment with real windows, if she signed within 48 hours. Final page, biometric scribble pending. She laid the slate beside the keyboard, uncapped a cheap ballpoint, and sat in the hush where espresso machines dream of morning. Pen hovered. On the monitor, the protester stared back, unscripted, alive. On the slate, Nico beamed beside bulletproof legalese promising contentment. Two futures, one room. She closed her eyes. Pipes grumbled, mains sighed, turbines muttered, systems older than any branding. When she opened them, a patrol drone drifted past the storefront, projector halo painting the pavement with Nico's avatar. Congrats, it spelled in silent confetti, ink or keystroke, contract or contagion. The recorder's red LED blinked on again, as if declaring itself witness. Mara's hand trembled, the pen's nib kissed the digital line but did not descend, and the room hung there, breathless, balanced on a choice that even certainty could not steady. Nico Vargas reached the storefront nearly an hour before 6:03, the mandated moment Tuscany would bloom across the glass. Real dawn was still a rumor, just a blue smear above the warehouses, and the street lamps blinked as though reluctant to surrender. He rapped on the locked door, breath puffing white. No answer. Inside, grinders sat dark, steam wands mute. He knocked again, gentler this time, mindful of the parcel tucked under his arm. Two branded travel mugs and a fountain pen tied with a ribbon that refused to stay knotted. Corporate had shipped the welcome kit the minute Mara's digital signature floated into their queue. Overnight, the status had shifted to pending, then stalled. Pen hovering, apparently. This morning, he planned to nudge ink into motion, capture the moment live, maybe cut a montage. Sunrise, handshake, future secured. The security cam above the door tracked him, iris whirring, but the AI greeter remained silent. Odd. Someone always arrived before him, even on his earliest days. He checked the time, 5:08, and forced a laugh. Too early, Nico. Chill. He paced a loop past the alley, whistling a tune the algorithm promised tested well with Gen W nostalgia. 5:09. The whistling thinned. 5:10. Still no Mara, no auto unlock, no soft boot of the shutters. The street felt abandoned, a set waiting for extras. The cafe was already dark when Mara Arriaga closed the register and set the contract slate on the counter. The pen's nib hovered over the signature line like a diver hesitating at the edge. Her reflection in the dormant espresso machine looked older than 32, sleep-starved eyes, lips pinched by decisions she hadn't voiced. Outside, a promotional drone rotated Nico's avatar above the sidewalk. Congrats, the halo insisted. She couldn't tell if it was promise or epitaph. She capped the pen. The click rang final. Not today, she whispered. The recorder, tucked inside a hollowed-out invisible man in her bag, caught the words. She swiped the slate left. Are you sure? Flashed. Her thumb hit yes. The glowing signature line dissolved. Fine print retreated like offended water. Central Sentiment archived the refusal, but the room felt lighter, as if it had exhaled. A polite cough. Mr. Klein stood in the staff doorway, coat collar up, a parcel wrapped in butcher paper under one arm. "Night is gentle with irrevocable choices," he said. "No, decisions made." Her voice trembled only on the last syllable. Relief softened his shoulders. "Then there's a corridor you should see." They slipped out the delivery exit and angled three blocks north. Territory municipal projectors seldom bothered to dress. A half-dead street lamp sizzled above a sagging chain-link fence. Beyond it, an underpass the city listed as sealed for repairs. Klein wedged a plywood board aside and ushered her through. Inside, the hush felt primordial. Battery lanterns wedged into rusted brackets threw copper halos over concrete ribs. Graffiti layered every surface, fists, birds, sunsets that refused to loop, inked in phosphorescent paint. The air smelled of aerosol, candle wax, and warm bodies. A knot of teenagers worked a fresh mural. One, a lanky boy wearing a nebula tattoo over one eye, glanced up and nodded at Klein. Respect for an elder conspirator, rather than cafe courtesy. Mara realized these were the ghostwriters who kept tagging the library dumpster. "This," Klein murmured, "is the offline corridor. Copper mesh in the rebar kills stray signals. The city lost the schematics decades ago." "Lost, or pretended. In this town, those verbs rhyme." He unwrapped the butcher paper, revealing a matte black pico projector cobbled together from three generations of obsolete tablets. "We feed your recorder through this. Hijack the cafe's window lenses during peak foot traffic. 30-second burst, long enough to show them what the vineyard hides." 30 seconds isn't much. "Truth's an ember, not a sermon. Give people a glow. They'll strike their own matches." He tilted his head toward the graffitists. "They're faster than any censorship bot. How soon?" "Tomorrow. System reboots at 5:25. We slip in before Tuscany loads, patch the lens array, broadcast at 6:07, gone by 6:10. She pictured Nico's grin the first time he called her gloomy angel, then the protesters' incandescent eyes. Cowardice felt heavier than betrayal. "I'm in," she said. Klein allowed himself a thin smile. Near midnight, rain stuttered against awnings when her wrist tag buzzed. Willow's voice note. "Mara, compliance pulled the cafe archives. They flagged a mismatch, your preliminary sign-on versus final refusal. They're calling it data sabotage. Two men asked if I'd seen you tamper with files. I lied, but I don't think they bought it. Whatever you're doing, stop. They can zero you out." Static swallowed the rest. Zero you out, corporate shorthand for erasing employment, credit, even her mother's residency status. The threat chilled like ice water down her spine, but somewhere deeper, a warmer current pushed back. The boy's nebula tattoo, the protesters' shout, Klein's ember. Back in her studio, she packed quickly. Recorder, hacked projector, two changes of clothes, Baldwin for courage. She left a scribbled note under 3 months overdue rent, helping mom, back soon, please don't toss the books. At 2:30, she zipped the duffel and slipped down corridors patrolled by sleeping drones. 4:59. Drizzle turned the neon open sign into a pink bruise against glass. Mara and Klein wore vendor aprons over street clothes, each lugging a burlap sack that smelled of coffee beans but clanked with circuitry. "Auto unlock in 8, Klein said, tapping a battered mechanical watch. "Patch, broadcast, vanish." A siren wailed upriver, the city's metal heart clearing its throat. Mara's pulse matched the tempo. Footsteps rounded the corner. They stiffened, sacks half-hoisted. Nico stepped into the glow, travel mugs swinging in a carrier, ribbon tails flapping like anxious pennants. Surprise flashed, then confusion. "Early birds," he called, forcing brightness. "Didn't know we were staging a dawn raid." His gaze landed on the burlap sacks, slid to Klein's antiquated watch, then settled on Mara, where something raw must have shone, because his smile wavered. The shutters hissed, preparing to rise. Tick-tock, Mara thought. "In we go," Nico said, producing keys that shouldn't have been in his pocket yet. But they were. Nico's keys scraped the cylinder. Mara froze. Heartbeat snagged mid-step. Beside her, Mr. Klein shifted one brogue behind his burlap sack and arranged the mild smile he used on both patrons and surveillance. The door swung open. Normally, a cheery chime would announce every entrance, but the override Mara had slipped in 2 hours ago kept the cafe's ears deaf. Nico still glanced at the ceiling, puzzled when no greeting followed. "You two chasing overtime?" his tone wavered between banter and audit. I thought I was the only pre-dawn addict. Mara hoisted her sack onto the condiment bar. Ceramic beans inside clicked against concealed hardware. New roast arrived underdeveloped, wanted to dial in before rush. She bent to the knot, hands stiff with adrenaline. Nico's gaze drifted to Klein's outfit, apron over a tweed jacket, polished shoes too formal for a shift. The grin thinned. Company policy frowns on civilians behind the bar, sir. Klein touched two fingers to his temple in mock salute. I'm here for the smell, nothing more. Nico crossed to the wall panel and tapped the startup icon. Fluorescence hummed awake, but the vineyard simulation scheduled for 6:03 stayed dark. Streetlight glinted off bare glass, real Portland dawn, rain matte and steel blue. System outage, he muttered, thumbing his handset. The screen spat network error. Klein folded his arms. Firmware patches sometimes pinch off unintended veins. Last update was flawless. Irritation nipped Nico's syllables. 5:29. Scheduler time. Mara swallowed. Grinder One's growling again, mind giving me a hand. She led Nico behind the counter, her normal territory, safe camouflage. While he leaned over the hopper, Mara slid a braided cable from her sack's false bottom, snaked it under the toe kick, and clicked it into the port on the recorder hidden inside the hollowed invisible man. One flick of her thumb, listen flashed, then transmit. Across the floor, Klein eased a battered Pico projector onto the mug display, sighting its lens through a service slot he'd opened weeks ago. Link live, he breathed. 5:32, Nico straightened. Funny, Grinder sounds fine. His smile returned, dented. But the shutters still haven't rolled. Central will dock points if breakfast opens on raw ambience. He started toward the front. Mara caught his wrist. Light touch, heat and warning. Some points aren't worth earning. His eyes searched hers. You didn't sign. Couldn't. Hurt flashed, quick as static. Then Klein called. Mara, 5:34. She released Nico, strode to the broom closet and twisted the main breaker. The cafe's uplink died with a blunt pop. Fluorescence dimmed but held. Every speaker coughed static. The corporate heartbeat flatlined. Nico's phone filled with red banners. Connection lost. Stream suspended. What are you doing? He whispered. Showing a sunrise. 5:36. Klein's projector purred. On the wall, the forbidden square bloomed. Protest crowds shoulder to shoulder, placards screaming, "We remember," chant rolling like surf. The front windows bounced the signal onto the sidewalk. Every visor, wrist lens, and bus stop screen in range abandoned Tuscany for unfiltered rage. Pedestrians jerked to a halt. A commuter dropped her smart mug, ceramic burst, steam ghosting up. Someone else raised a second device to film the first, as though truth required mirrors. Inside, Nico stared at the feed, blood draining from his face. His follower app hemorrhaged unsubscribes. They trace rogue signals in seconds. Then we leave in seconds, Klein said. He cut the loop at 32 seconds. Lights guttered, Central's counterstrike. Paneled glass, flickered vineyard, protest, vineyard, dueling for dominance. Rotor whine swelled overhead. Mara kicked open the service hatch behind the counter, narrow stairs dropping to the maintenance runs. Escape route 1. A drone the color of wet lead slammed to hover outside, optic bar glowing violation red. In its reflection, she saw her own eyes, fierce and bright, eerily like the woman on the placard. Nico, stairs, she urged. He lingered in the doorway, gift parcel forgotten on the register. You used me. I hoped you'd come with. Sirens, corporate pitch, higher than police, spooled closer. Klein shoved the Pico projector into Nico's hands. Evidence of coercion. Say we forced you. The brand will buy it. To Mara, he offered a tight nod. Tunnels meet the river in 8 blocks. She slung her duffel, grabbed the recorder, and dropped into shadow. The hatch clanged shut behind her. Concrete walls dripped rust-colored condensation. Strip lights buzzed at 10-meter intervals, half dead. Her boots splashed shallow puddles that mirrored the recorder's steady red pulse. Above, metal clanged, drones settling on the cafe roof. Her wrist tag vibrated, Willow. Audio only. The feed's everywhere. Compliance tagged you Delta One. They're sweeping tunnels with heat cams. Ditch anything traceable. I'm on it, Klein? They think Nico staged it for now. Mara, they'll go biometric next. A click in the ductwork, micro drone scouting. She killed the call, tore the wrist tag free, skin stinging, and stuffed it into a drainage grate. Battery yanked from her antique phone followed. the recorder she kept, truth outweighed safety. Sirens fanned outward, searching. She ducked through a rusted service door marked Archival V, wedged it shut, and breathed dust thick dark. Shelves appeared in the recorder's glow. Tape reels, print ledgers, forgotten city plans, a mausoleum of memory. Overhead, distant voices, Nico's among them, echoed through vents. She pictured him bargaining loyalty in exchange for influence restored. No hatred, only ache. Everyone was dozed on their own survival. She sank against a shelf, duffel for a pillow, and played the clip once more. Raw chants rattled the vault, shaking a century of dust from rails. 32 seconds, she thought. Enough to prove the sky can crack. Footsteps thudded outside the hatch. Handle rattled, swore, receded. When silence settled, she rose, shoulders squared. Service tunnels met the river. The river touched the sea. Somewhere beyond the reach of Tuscany, a real sun climbed. She followed the corridor, clutching Baldwin and the pulsing recorder, while above her drones worked to stitch the lie back together. The diode's red heartbeat guided her deeper into the dark, slow, patient, indomitable. Thank you for choosing Astori Publishing.